Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:09 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 26th. Well, following yesterday's fireworks, we've had a number of markets pull back in here today. The mainland Chinese markets remain remain closed until Monday. The Hang Seng was stronger today by about 1.6%, the ASX by over 1%. The Nikkei was down just a tad. The Indonesian market was reasonably steady, but the Filipino market, which has been the leader, pulled back rather sharply. Now, it is overbought in the short term. It's due a consolidation, probably within the region of the highs. The Philippine peso has also continued to appreciate here. That's a rather positive sign in that it didn't weaken when the stock market weakened, suggesting that you're not having a big pullout of capital from the country. In India, it remains a pretty firm situation, and that market continues to look like a recovery candidate. It will be interesting to see how China opens on Monday. It's the Hong Kong market has certainly been anticipating better news from the mainland, and following the Golden Week holiday, there is some catching up to do. The action that we saw prior to the holiday in China was really quite positive. If we see some additional upside in here, it would help to bolster the case for at least a near-term low, and potentially even a medium-term low. Much will depend on the actions of the central government and their attitude to the housing market and lowering reserve requirements at the banks and potentially lowering interest rates and reducing some of the non-linear tightening measures that they've implemented over the last few years. Following on the strong close on Wall Street yesterday, Europe was in positive territory pretty much universally. The DAX was stronger by 1.8%, the FTSE by 1.25%, the CAC by 1.5%, the OMX in Sweden up by almost 2%. So a good positive day. We're seeing an increasing number of those markets breaking above their 200-day moving averages, and so far extending those advances. More on that in a moment. Following yesterday's fireworks, the Dow Jones was down just a tad in here today, 22 points, that's less than 0.2%. The S&P down about 0.5%, the NASDAQ down less than 0.5%, the TSX down just more than 0.5%. When you look at weekly charts for a number of these markets, you'll see that they have been that there are more than a handful have been rallying now for almost six consecutive weeks or five of the last 6 weeks. They've developed short-term overbought conditions. The likelihood of a pullback and consolidation is increasing. The medium-term uptrend can continue to be given the benefit of the doubt, provided it holds its progression of higher reaction lows from the December low. So it has, all these markets have to hold above their December lows. Some of them are in a more comfortable position than others because they have plenty of room now to consolidate, and a good number of them can pull back and still consolidate above their 200-day moving averages, and those moving averages are starting to turn upwards. So that's another encouraging sign that demand is returning to dominance beyond the short term. We are looking increasingly likely that this is the beginning of a cyclical bull market, in which case the lows that we saw back in October, November and December were medium-term lows, and that these markets have got quite a bit further to go on the upside in a cyclical nature. Following the very strong move yesterday in gold, it put on an extra almost $11 in here and is pushing and holding above the $1,700 level. Both silver and platinum were in positive territory. They're pushing now above their 200-day moving averages. That is really quite positive. The palladium market, which has already pushed above its moving average, was relatively unchanged in here today. The commodity complex generally has moved to a position of outperformance. It's falling into line with the action that we've seen in stock markets. It's lagged somewhat in here, but it's certainly playing catch-up at present. The industrial metals have all rallied rather well in the last few weeks, and they are increasingly beginning to challenge their progressions of lower rally highs and breaking out of very short-term bases. So it's really good positive action. The US dollar was finished out the day a little bit stronger. It's been most, and that was pairing quite a large decline earlier on today. Against the euro, it was as weak as 131.84. It finished out the day at 131 even. We're going to see some toing and froing in the US dollar, particularly as people begin to start to price in the potential that the short-term interest rates in the USA are going to remain at extraordinarily low levels for a prolonged period of time. People begin to hypothesize as to whether the Fed is going to engage in another round of quantitative easing. And people are going to start comparing that with the situation in Europe. And the European situation remains relatively uncertain. We've certainly had a much more positive attitude from various institutions over there. And we are getting a much more coordinated approach to the problems that are outstanding. So there's no interest rate differential really between the euro and the dollar anymore. It's down to 1%. And that's not really a great deal. We're in for a lot of ranging, but it's going to be volatile. The euro has been unwinding a short-term oversold condition. It's rallied by more than 6 cents in the last few weeks. It's still got a little bit to go before it unwinds the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. It does not look like a recovery candidate in here, but neither of these currencies is particularly strong in here. So when we really want to look at where the value is in some of these currencies, we have to look at how they're performing versus comparatively strong currencies. And what we've seen over the last few weeks is that the Asian currencies in particular have strengthened up in no uncertain terms. Singapore dollar in particular, but also the Korean won, the Indian rupee, the Philippine peso, have all recovered really quite a lot of the decline that they put in from the October lows. The Asian dollar index, it looks very similar to the continuous commodity index. It looks similar to some of these stock market indices. It had had the much bigger reaction. It found support. It's put in a higher reaction low. It's pushed back up to the 200-day moving average. It's beginning to push back above it. It looks like a recovery candidate. Now, it's reasonably easy to make a bullish case for some of these currencies. You're looking at the growth center of the global economy in Asia. And the more you're also seeing that these currencies have quite a bit larger interest rate differentials with currencies such as the dollar, the yen, or the euro, or indeed the pound. And they're well supported by their governments, which tend to run surpluses and have comparatively low government and personal debt. So it's reasonably easy to make bullish cases for why one would want to favor some of those Asian currencies, and they are beginning to return to a position of outperformance. So even though we're seeing some of these markets that have developed short-term overbought conditions, we wouldn't be looking for anything more than a pause in consolidation. It does look like the tide of investor interest is beginning to turn once more, and there is a strong likelihood that it is going to turn back towards Asia and Asia's leading markets. We're even starting to see that some of the lagging markets in Asia are beginning to look a bit better here. Singapore, in particular, is one of those markets which had had a perhaps deeper pullback and had been slower to rally, but it has put in a really rather impressive advance over the last month, and provided it holds more than half of it on an additional pullback, then we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in here. US Treasuries yesterday gave up the majority of their advance. They were up by almost a full point in here today, so they are finding support in the region of the lower side of the range. We can argue all we like about the potential that US Treasuries are in the process of forming a top formation, or in terms of yield or basing, and that the 30-year bull market is likely to end badly for a good number of fixed income investors. But that's a long-term forecast. And in the short term, there is no evidence yet that the end is imminent for this 30-year bull market in bonds. In the short term, the market has been ranging for the last 4 months. It's been unwinding an overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. It's recently tested the lower side of the congestion area, and it is now beginning to rally once more. That would suggest that people are beginning to price in the potential for an additional round of buying by the US, in the US Treasury market by the government. Now, at some point, that's not going to be going to continue to be a winning strategy, but it's likely to remain a winning strategy, at least for the short term. We're seeing that central banks just about everywhere are increasing liquidity. They have they've become cautious about the potential for a slowdown in global growth, and they're doing just about anything they can to prevent some of these weaker economies moving back into recession. That means that there's going to be a lot more liquidity chasing a fixed amount of assets, and that's what's helping to support a large number of risk assets in here at present. Gold in particular has benefited. It has been consolidating now for the last almost 5 months, and it's held above its 200-day moving average. There's a number of consistency characteristics with regard to gold. It's been going upwards for the last 10 years. I can't think of another asset class that's put in a positive return every year for the last decade. It's an interesting market because it offers a hedge against a particularly bearish or a particularly bullish outcome, or deflation or inflationary outcomes in the global economy. Overextensions of approximately 30% relative to the 200-day moving average on at least three occasions in the last decade have represented important peaks in the price of gold. That was certainly the case in the third quarter of last year, and gold has moved into now another period of a deeper reaction and a period of consolidation. And it's been prone to these types of reactions in the past. It's found support in the region of the 200-day moving average on two separate occasions since August, and it's pushed up now to test the progression of lower rally highs. Now, if it can push back up towards the 1775 to 1800 region and consolidate and hold the progression of higher reaction lows, it'll give the chart some balance. It will have spent enough of time consolidating. It will have spent enough time to help to rebuild the confidence that people had in the market. There was some really quite spectacular bullishness out there when prices were in the region of $1,900. Anyone who was buying then had to sit through quite a lot of pain, and leveraged traders would have been stopped out. So it takes time to rebuild confidence. We've also had a phenomenal amount of bullish forecasts. Everyone seems to be trying to put down a marker to say that they were extraordinarily bullish of gold. That makes me think that it's probably going to spend a little bit more time, because the people that are trying to talk it up are probably already long. They've probably bought as much as they want right now. So gold continues to look positive. It continues to look like it's going to go a bit higher in here, but it also looks like it's going to spend a little bit more time before it can break upwards and push on to new high ground. Nothing has happened yet to really question the long-term bull market in gold. It would really need now to pull back below the 200-day moving average, encounter resistance in the region of it, and then extend to the decline to really start to question the bullish hypothesis. Alternatively, it would have to accelerate wildly and create an overextension relative to the EMA of greater than 30%. That would be a clear inconsistency, even in the context of the accelerations that the market is prone to. In the meantime, it continues to look like it's going to go higher in the short term. Now, I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.